Well, let's turn, if you would, with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians. It is a special time when a pastor or an elder is able to leave other work to be full-time in the gospel. But you know, it doesn't make him more of a pastor because now he's going to be full-time. Doesn't make him more spiritual. Doesn't make him more holy. Doesn't make him more of a pastor. It just frees up his time to give himself to the gospel. So, Jesse doesn't know what I'm speaking about this morning. But the things I want to say this morning are sometimes difficult for an elder, a pastor, to express to their own church. So I'm going to do that this morning, and then I'm going to leave town. I want to speak on a church's responsibility toward its pastor. And when I say pastor, ideally, God would give pastors. In the New Testament, there are two offices in leadership. That of an elder who does the work of a pastor. Pastor is not an office, it's a work. It's a feeder. An elder is to feed the flock of God. He's to shepherd and take the oversight. An elder pastors. And then the other office is that of a deacon. And they serve the saints and they serve the leadership to free up the elders to do the work of the ministry. So, when I talk about to you this morning as a church and as an individual believer in this church, if God's called you to Grace Life here, He has given you specific God-given biblical responsibilities toward your pastor, toward the one elder you have now. And when there are other elders in the future, the same responsibility will be toward all of them. We often think about, and you hear about, a pastor's responsibility toward the church. And indeed, those are real. But we don't hear enough about a church's responsibility toward the elder. So that's what I want to address this day from three passages. The first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, two verses. Verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. I will be reading from the ESV translation. We ask you, brothers, now that's generic, ladies. You don't get out of this. Brethren, all believers, the New Testament uses this term. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. So they labor among you, and spiritually they take oversight over the church. They are spiritually over the flock. They're not ever lorded over the flock, but spiritually God has placed elders and deacons as leaders over the church of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, we ask you to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So they labor among you, they take oversight over you, and they admonish you. Not from their own prejudices or preferences or opinions, but admonish you with God's voice, which is Scripture. They bring to you the Word of God. That's their calling. That's their job. Look at verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love because they are perfect men. Right? No. Because of their work. Because they are doing a work that is for the chief shepherd of the whole church of Jesus Christ. They are doing the work of the gospel. The work of pastoring, taking oversight, feeding the flock, laboring in the gospel ministry. You are to esteem them highly, regardless of who it is, because of the work's sake. And notice this last admonition in verse 13. This is just as important for the whole flock in relation to the elders. Be at what? Peace among yourselves. If there is division, if there is discord, if there's disharmony, if there's gossip and slander and wrong hearts and attitudes among the flock, among the sheep, then it multiplies the grief and the heartache and the burden of the elders and the leadership. So this is Paul's admonition to the Thessalonians. And by the way, the Thessalonian church was smaller than your church. The scholars say there were probably 30, maybe 40 saints there among the Thessalonians. So that's the first passage. The second is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you'd turn there. And we will read beginning in verse 17. First Timothy 5:17 through verse 21. Let the elders who rule well, that means who with maturity and consistency in the fear of God are guiding the affairs of the church. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in, that is, work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain or the corn. And the laborer deserves his wages. Now, let me just ask you quickly. Paul quotes there two things. Do you know where he's quoting from and who he's quoting? The first is from Deuteronomy 25. He's quoting Moses. The second is from the Gospel, the Synoptic Gospels, and he's quoting who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses and Christ, both, two pretty good authoritative sources, if you ask me, say, you as a church, you as an individual believer and member of this church, are to count your pastor as worthy if they rule well, if they consistently shepherd the church of God, if they labor hard at preaching and teaching. What are you to do? Somebody just turn on a bright light that's blinding me. I don't like the spotlight on me. What are you to do if the elder does that? You are to count them worthy of double honor. We're going to see in a moment what that means. All right, the third passage is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. We're going to read two verses, verse 7 and 17. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who have spoken to you or spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this, and the admonition is to you. You are to let them do this, how? With joy and not with groaning. Let me just stop right there and pry a little bit. Your church life individually, your participation here, your manner of life, how you worship, how you relate to the church, how you participate in body life, your manner of life is your walk and an example here a joy to Jesse, or does it make him sometimes have to groan and grieve? Now, I could just stop right there and we could go home. And you could do inventory. Lord, what kind of sheep am I? Does my walk, am I easy to shepherd Am I a joy to preach to? Or does my life in any way produce grief and spiritual burden to Brother Jesse? It says here, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage for you. Christ has put His shepherd, Jesse Barrington, here for your advantage, not His. Do you see it that way? I want to talk to you this morning. All this is an exhortation. I'm just going to exhort you on what your responsibilities are if God has put you here. If He's called you here, you are under a biblical mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of this church, to do these things and be these things toward Brother Jesse and his family and any other elder that God will raise up. And He will raise up others. He does that for your sake, not for the elder's sake. So today I want to talk to you about you and your pastor. And when I say you, I'm talking about you as a corporate church. This is a word from God to the life of the whole church. But I'm also speaking to you as an individual. If God has placed you here, Christ is speaking to you today. And He's going to admonish you with your responsibilities toward your pastor. Anybody over 50 here can finish this phrase. Ask not. Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country. Now, that was not stated by a theologian. But the way that applies in church life is, ask not what your pastor can do for you. Christ will make sure He does it. But rather, you ask what you can do for your church and for your pastor. The heart of a sheep ought to be this way. What kind of churchman are you? And when I use the term churchman, some people don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what place and a high view of Christ's church. What kind of church life do you contribute to? How committed are you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the local church? Are you on the fringes and you're half committed? Or is your life and soul and heart and money and time and energy and prayers invested in this church to see God build it? What kind of churchman are you? What kind of sheep are you toward your shepherds? What kind of sheep are you toward the other sheep that you baa with and you feed with and you walk with and you have to love in spite of your inconsistencies and idiosyncrasies and the things that you have to be patient with one another about week in and week out? You are to walk in the way that will please Christ. When pastors and leaders, your pastors and leaders, think of your walk, and they do. They think of you, and they hold you on their heart, and they pray for you. When they think of your individual life as a part of this church, what do they have to think? What comes to their mind? Does faithfulness come to mind? Are you faithful and loving and committed and dependable and exemplary and endeavoring to be blameless? Are you consistently an encouragement to others? Are you outward in your heart toward others? Or are you inward and self-centered and it's all about you? Are you that way? Or are you nitpicky, self-centered, judgmental, inconsistent in attendance at church meetings, not really in the game of true church life, but you're on the fringes, not fully committed, standing in a distance, not giving yourself to the saints? Do any of those things honestly, if you're honest, describe you? Are you inconsistent and a complainer and a critic and a whiner and a gossip. What kind of member of Grace Life Church are you? Examine yourself, the Bible says. Think about these things, because you and I will only glorify Christ daily, weekly, where He's planted us, to the degree that we have good church life and we function with His church. God has never, and this isn't original with me, God doesn't want any Lone Rangers in His kingdom. Even the Lone Ranger needed Tonto. And you and I need the brethren in our lives. We really need to be shepherded. Our other pastor, next week, our church ordains a third elder. And our other elder now, he has been my pastor for 12 years since our church started. And I pastor him. And the third elder that gets added, we pastored one another. Because elders need shepherding and pastoring. And deacons need that. And every member of the flock needs that. You cannot walk this alone and make it. You cannot walk alone, separate, without spiritual life and connection in reality and truly glorify Jesus Christ. So what are your responsibilities toward your pastor and future pastors and elders? Well, I want to mention 4 or 5, and these come right out of these passages. First of all, back to 1 Thessalonians 5, turn there. First of all, Paul says there in verse 12 of chapter 5 that you are to know them. Look at verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 12. I've got to find it myself. 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. We ask you, to brothers, to know, ESV says respect those, but it really means to really know them. You are to know them. Genuine knowledge of them. Pastors, your pastor is not to be a stranger to you. You are to pursue a real knowledge of their life. You are to become well acquainted with any elder that serves you. No member of the body is to be distant from their pastor or their elders. You individually, Christ here gives you a responsibility to truly know them. You are to pursue them as a friend and a shepherd and place yourself available for the relationship to deepen. It is not just on the elder or the pastor to pursue you. It is on you, Paul says, to get to know them. God doesn't want Jesse to be close to a few of you and know some of you. He wants the elders or the elder that's ruling among you now to know you. But that means you have to be available for that relationship to develop. But you know, some professing Christians don't want that. They're uncomfortable with it. They want it at a distance. They want to hear a man who's a stranger preach to them and go away and live their life where you know, their comfort zone isn't invaded. No, Paul here says, you are to know those who labor among you. And it is the idea of true intimate relationship and a knowledge of them with respect, where your relationship with your elders is continually growing and it's real. Is that in your heart? Not only for you to hear good preaching and teaching and to know that the man who stands here has integrity and is trustworthy and is capable to open the Word of God to you, but you have to know their life. You have to engage yourself to know them and care about them. So Paul says here, know them. That's your first responsibility. Secondly, look at verse 17. Now, I think I got the verse wrong. Yes, it's in 1 Timothy 5, not in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy 5:17 is the second admonition among these verses that we read. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, you're not only to know them, you are to support them. Support them in every way. You're to support them. And here he says, let them be counted worthy of double honor. But we're going to see the context of this. This passage comes, Paul brings to bear on this after he says, let them be counted worthy of double honor. He brings to bear Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4, when he says in verse 18, the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the corn. So that's what the application is for counting them worthy of double honor. It means you are to adequately, consistently give in such a way that their needs can be met fully, financially. Now, some people would say, well, you know, if it just says you count them worthy of double honor, I'm not sure that's talking about finances. Well, it really is, because the same exhortation Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, we won't turn there. You can look at it, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. He uses the same passage from Moses about the support of preachers. Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And you know what they did. When the oxen in the Old Testament times were treading it out, they were allowed, they would not, Moses' law said, you can't put a muzzle on them. You let them eat that which they're treading out for others. So what does this mean for you? You are to count your pastor as truly, properly worthy before God of fully being supported. You are to give regularly and consistently and graciously and cheerfully so that elders can be adequately supported. This means this. The priority of a church financially, the first priority of a church financially is not the mission field. The first priority after the rent and the utilities are paid is the support of their pastors. Then missions. Then the poor. The support of the pastor and the elders ought to be the priority. And you, as a church, giving regularly, are responsible for them. You are to count them as worthy of double honor. That means full, regular support. And then the leaders and the other elders decide those amounts based on the need of the pastors. This is the church's priority and the commitment, the long-term financial welfare of our elders. This needs to be in the heart of every sheep and every saint that is a member of this church. An elder can choose to decline the support and work. He can choose to do that. Paul had the right, he wrote, for that support, but he chose in his situation to decline it and not accept it because he was in a virgin area of planting the gospel and planting churches where the gospel had never been known. He did not want his example to be accused that he was there preaching for money. But when you have a church that is planted and it's going, Jesse has been working for all these years, consistently, faithfully, to provide for himself. And I don't know what his situation has been as far as a choice to decline. He biblically would have had the right for financial support. And maybe that's been there some, maybe it has not. But he was choosing to work. The elder has a right to decline it. But the church has no right to withhold it. And there's a difference. You see that? It is incumbent upon you to give so consistently, so regularly, faithfully, as God has prospered you, and to give cheerfully so that there will not be lack to meet all the priorities of the church. So let them be counted by your heart. in your mind individually and as a church, let him be counted worthy of double honor. Next, number 3 is in the same passage. Look at verse 19, 1 Timothy 5. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. What is your responsibility here? Never listen to an accusation from someone else toward your pastor. Never. Carnal people with evil hearts and critical spirits will at times accuse, rail upon, and gossip about your pastor. Do not give an ear to it. If somebody starts, you stop them and say this, have you gone to Jesse with this? And you know what they'll say? No. Well, don't come to me, go to him. That'll put an end to it, won't it? Do not, Paul says, and Christ says through Paul, do not receive any accusation against an elder. Do not listen to them. Do not entertain them. Why? Because they breed mistrust. They breed sin. It breeds judgmental thoughts. It breeds doubt and a critical attitude. Solomon said, he who repeats a matter, what? Separates friends. Are you ever a part of private criticism of your pastor? Then today you ought to repent. You ought to. One time I was preaching in a nursing home in East Dallas. I'd go there every week. And there was a man who would sit on the porch. I'd be there in the afternoon. He'd sit outside. And I would always invite him to come into the service. Now, preachers are all hypocrites. I'm not interested. So I'd invite him every week. And he'd say the same thing. And then one day he said, Billy Graham, he's just a big hypocrite. And I said, you know what? If you prayed for Billy Graham the way you criticize him, he might do a lot better. And he said, touche, preacher. And he never criticized preachers again as long as I went. Now, I don't remember that he ever came to the service. But do you have a private, critical attitude and bring up critical issues to find fault out of concern for the church, and you privately criticize your elder? You ought to repent. 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7, and one of them is he who sows what? Discord among the brethren. Are you a sower of discord or a sower of unity and love? Are you a sower of supportive words and encouragement about your pastor to anyone in the church you talk to, or are you a sower of discord and division? Do not receive an accusation against an elder. That's a strong and serious responsibility that you have as a church and you have as an individual. Next one, go to Hebrews 13. There are 2 verses here, and I'm not covering all that's in the New Testament about this. Read the New Testament in light of attitude and heart toward your spiritual leaders, and take them to heart. Today, before you go to sleep tonight, you ought to be before the Lord and say, Father, how am I failing here? What more can I be to be a support and a blessing and a strengthening and a servant to Brother Jesse and the other leaders? Make me a blessing, not a hindrance. Make me a joy, not a groaning. Is that in our hearts? It ought to be. Hebrews 13, there are 2 verses here. Verse 7 is the first. And in verse 7, the writer says, remember your leaders. Remember them. Now that's interesting. That means next Sunday you come and say, now let's see, who's the pastor here? I can't remember. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, take them and their lives and their welfare and their spiritual journey, take them to heart and you carry them on your heart. Remember them. Always be mindful of them, of their need. Because they are not little angels. They are not demigods. Jesse doesn't possess omniscience or omnipotence or omnipresence. He's a man of passions like you. He's limited. He gets discouraged sometimes. Do you ever encourage him? He has need to be admonished in a right way and encouraged to press on and hear thankfulness and expressions of gratitude. Always be mindful of them, of their need and their burden and their responsibility and his heart and his work, because he labors among you. He gives you regularly the Word of God. He feeds your souls with the truth, does he not? He cares for your soul. Whether he sees you every week or not, he cares for your soul. He has you on his heart and in his prayers. And he's a true shepherd. I know he is because I've gotten to know him over the past 5 years. One of God's judgments on churches or countries is to withdraw true shepherds. And one of the displays of his mercy is when he gives true shepherds to a church. So God has graced and shown real mercy to Grace Life Church by giving you the man that he's given you. And you are to remember him and love him and be committed to him as an under-shepherd. You are to carry him on your heart and in your prayers and stand with him and be for him and support him spiritually and emotionally and financially and his family, to be there for him. And don't expect anything extra or special from his wife. She's not called to be a pastor. A lot of billboards in America you see these days, you think that's the case. She's called to be a wife and a mother and a Christian and a member of the body. So, she's one of you. You love them both. Genuinely. And that's not on Steve's count. That's on your count. If you're here, if God's called you here, whether you're a single person or younger, you can be an encouragement. Not long ago, I preached a shorter sermon, and two or three of the children came up and said, "Man, I got more out of that than I can remember in a long time." And I guess it was because they were able to stay with me. And you know what? That really encouraged me. Do you ever go to Jesse? When was the last time you went up to him and said, "I just want you to know what that sermon meant to me. I want you to know what your regular preaching and teaching does for me. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be a sheep in this flock." When have you last expressed appreciation? Not enough. We don't do it enough, do we? You are to be there for them. You are to remember them. Next, see verse 7. Consider the outcome of their way of life. You look at his life and you can say, if I can just be so blunt, he's not a prosperity preacher. He's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not out for himself. God has given me a true shepherd here, and I am to watch and look at and consider his way of life. He lives what he preaches. He walks what he talks. He lives it out. I'm to really consider this and see it and benefit from it. Consider their way of life. And what does it say then? And imitate what? Their faith. The last thing is in verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." Now we know, if you've been a Christian very long, or you've been in the church world very long, we know there's an abuse of spiritual authority in a lot of places. There's a lording it over the flock. There's a trying to tell people how to do this and how to do that and all that stuff. There is an authoritarianism that's unbiblical and dishonors God and dishonors Jesus Christ. And this is not talking about that. But while that is true, there is a true, proper obedience of spiritual leaders and a true submission under the lordship of Christ to the spiritual authority of your elders and your leaders. Why? Because they care for your souls, and to the degree they show you the way of truth and the way of Jesus Christ and how to walk in it and truly how to be biblical in your life, to that degree you are to follow them and submit to the truth of God that comes through them. You don't have a right to pick and choose what you like and don't like from the preaching of the Word. You have to take the bitter vegetables with the dessert. Sometimes when I go overseas, there'll be pickled meat in Jell-O type stuff, or there will be vegetables that I've never seen and I don't know what it is, and it doesn't taste good. But you know what? We sit down there and these ladies have prepared this stuff and we eat it with gratitude. If Jesse brings you a message one day that just rips you up and rebukes you and corrects you and humbles you and you don't like it, you know what you ought to say? That hurts so good. Because Christ, my shepherd, gave me that and I need it. Is that your attitude? Do you submit to and obey your leaders in the spiritual oversight? If you go to him for counsel and he comes back and he says, as much as I can see, this is biblical and this would be the wisest choice, and I really admonish you that this ought to be the right path according to Scripture, you ought to be very, very careful in rejecting that. Because you may be rejecting not the opinion of a man, but the counsel of Christ through your shepherds, because they are called to give an account for your souls and will give an account for your souls. Acknowledge this admonition to obey your leaders and submit to them is telling you to truly acknowledge before Christ your pastor's spiritual place in your life. The decisions about church meetings that the leaders make and give change and new direction, you may not see it that way. You might not like it. Well, why did they decide that? I like the other place better. Well, I like doing this better. Well, why is the music now this way? Because Christ is leading His shepherds and His leadership to set the direction of the church. That is not your personal responsibility to make those choices. And that's where you have to, whether decisions about church meetings or corporate worship or the teaching of the Word, you are to submit to and follow with a right heart and a right spirit, because they watch for your soul and they must give an account. Now look at the end of verse 17. In chapter 13, there. You are to help them do this with joy. This means you ought to walk in such a way that it is a great joy for Jesse to pastor you. Don't let your life and your walk and your words and your attitude be a grief and make him groan in his heart. But rather, you be a joy to him. You ought to have a goal as a believer here in this church. I want to be as faithful and as loving and as consistent and as much an example as I can possibly be by the grace of God. I don't want to be a grief. I don't want to be a heartache. I don't want to be a drag. I don't want to be a discouragement. Lord, make me a blessing and make me a joy to the elders here that God has given me. Because, it says at the end of that verse, when you are that way, It's no advantage for you, and it is a grief to them. So, in conclusion, what kind of sheep are you toward your under-shepherd? What kind of sheep does Christ want to make you? Can you take to heart today these admonitions and these responsibilities? As the saints of God in a church, in a body, do this, they take seriously their responsibilities. They take in a sober-minded, joyful way where they feel called of Christ to have their heart and life and soul planted there. And they seek to be the greatest blessing they can be to the church and to their pastor. That kind of church will be healthy and will thrive, and spiritual gifts will flourish, and leaders will be raised up, and their pastor and elders and deacons will be happy men. So make my word, final word is to you, before God, make Jesse a happy man. And any other elder you ever have or deacons, make them happy men. Make them glad to see you. Make them feel blessed by you. Get in their lives and love them and pray for them. Some of you never pursue your leaders. You never have them over. You never call them or text them with encouragement. You never do anything spiritually toward them. That's wrong. Change it. Change it this week. I don't mean you bug them to death, no. But you love them and communicate with them. And once in a while, say, hey, we want you all over for lunch Sunday. Can we take you out? Give them a gift card sometime when you have some extra. And say, hey, take your wife out to dinner. Seek to be a blessing any way you can. That is the God-given responsibility of the church to its pastor. Let's pray. Father, my words are so inadequate. And lacking, but to the degree that I've been faithful to your word and to the degree that I've spoken the truth, Lord, I pray you'd really encourage Grace Life Church. I pray the members, the leaders, the brothers and the sisters, the families, the children, the single brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray today by your Holy Spirit, you would encourage them deeply, that they would feel a fresh calling to be here in this flock, in this body, all there to be. Thank you, Lord, that this is a high calling of God to be a true churchman. Lord, I pray you'd bless this church with these realities increasingly in the days ahead. Just commend them to you in the word of your grace. And pray, Lord, you'd greatly bless this church in every way. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.